I thought maybe the Lord would have me have a little rest this evening, but maybe not. I want to look over into the book of Mark this evening. Is it already on?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. I want to look over in the second chapter of Mark. I'm very grateful this evening that we have such a wonderful God.
Yes.
Grateful that He looks down on humanity with great love and affection, and cares for us and all of our different needs that we find ourselves in. It has been one of the great passions of God ever since the time when souls were stolen. It's been His passion to redeem them. I believe there's been many times that the God of love looked down on hurting and ruined people, and I believe He has had great sorrow over what has happened. I believe He saw people when they were making bad decisions and stood near and whispered and said, "Don't." God has really tried. And when you think this, sometimes people say that, well, if He gives us the right to say no, that means He's not quite a sovereign God. I want to tell you, God is the one that asks us to make a choice. And tonight, we all also make choices. But I want to tell you today, the Lord has set before us both a blessing and a curse. Therefore, choose life. Because life is what God has affected for all of humanity. He's made it available to us. There is a God who cared for humanity in the ruined state that humans find themselves in. We call it salvation, don't we? And that's what it is. People, there is such ruined conditions that we find in this world in general. And today it doesn't take very long of looking around to see a lot of ruin.
Yes.
On many different levels. I mean, we look at it socially, we see there that level. We see it politically, we see it that level. We see it economically, we see it that level. It's all out there. But that doesn't hinder God. God, the blood of Jesus Christ is yet as powerful today as what it ever was. As what it was when He met people like me and like you at our altars of prayer, our times in our despair, and we crumbled before Him and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." It's still as powerful today as what it was that time when He lifted the load off your shoulders. And mine, I forget who it was I was talking to just today. Brother Elwell, that's what it was, just before he left. And told him, he said he was born in 1979. And I said, "That's the year I got saved." He said, "You've been saved 43 years then." And I said, "It doesn't seem like it's been that long." There's some parts of that salvation story. This is my story. This is my song. There are parts of that story that is very fresh in my mind. That time when I fell at that altar so heavy with all the weight of sin that was on my shoulders, feeling like there was no way back home. And He met me there.
The blood's still that powerful for you. It's still here. The fountain's still available. And I want you to know, I hope somehow tonight, if you are here under the sound of my voice, whether in this room or somewhere out there on the internet, I want you to know that tonight the Lord offers hope. I want you to get a hold of hope tonight, because God loves you and He's interested in giving you a different life than what you've been experiencing in the past. There is hope for a new life. You can be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And many here tonight can testify along with me of the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to turn over here in Mark, the second chapter. Start reading here at the first verse. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Now this evidently, I believe, when you read in other Gospels too and other accounts, it sounds like this must have been the house where Peter was staying. And he was there with him at this point. Perhaps as their travels, they came over there and they stayed here at this house for a time. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. In other words, the area outside the door. You can picture this now. People heard that he was there, and they came interested in what was going on. They came interested in hearing these words. Wonder what he had to say. Have you ever thought? You know, sometimes we get the idea that surely he was there and he said, "Now you sinners, if you don't repent and turn." Well, you know, that's a truth. You could say that. But I believe there was something that Jesus began to say to them that down inside their heart they said, "That's correct. I know what he's saying is right." And he said it with such tenderness when he looks at the man that perhaps is so overwrought with his self-destruction in his life. And he looks at him and begins to speak the gospel, the truth. And the man in his heart is smitten, but at the same time, the eyes that are looking at him are so full of compassion. Surely Peter saw those eyes after he had denied so vehemently, and the eyes turned and looked at him. He went out and wept bitterly, didn't he? It wasn't a weeping of no hope. I believe there was a weeping. I'm so sorry. But the eyes I just got through seeing spoke volumes of love to me. And I believe there's a way back. I feel crushed in my spirit, but I'm going to climb. I'm going to grasp a hold of this hope. We find him not over about, 40, 50 days after that, preaching with great power the gospel. And many people were saved. Thank the Lord for the grace of God tonight. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. He preached the word unto them. You know what the word that he was preaching? He preached the kingdom. Repentance was part of that. Part of the word that he shared with the people there was this kingdom. And I want to think about this now a little bit. If you are going to tell somebody that is so overwrought, remember the woman at the well? There was things she had great needs. And I believe he began to share with her a cup of water. He shared with her some hope. He didn't reach down in Jacob's well and get anything out of that, but he reached down in the very soul of humanity and offered hope. And that woman heard that. And though she felt all the weight of what she had been involved with in her life, there was something, not just the weight was there, there was conviction, but there was also along with that, the very hope that this is surely the Messiah. This, he preached the kingdom to her. Folks, we need a king that will replace us being king in our life. Many times when I was out there on that road of sin, I was king of my life, and I made a mess of it. But every time I've submitted to the kingship of my Lord, He's never made a mess of my life. The only times I ever had problems is when I tried to take the reins again. And I want to tell you what, the message that the King has for us tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Oh, what sweet learning we can have tonight. What sweet kingship. What enjoyable servitude. I enjoy serving Him tonight. Such sweet fault that we can follow Him tonight. And tonight I want to ask you, as you listen, and perhaps, I don't know where we all are here tonight, but I do know that if you're outside of the ark of safety, if you're not saved tonight, I do know that there is a King that lovingly is looking at you tonight and He's interested in saving your soul and helping you with all the rest of your life. And I want to encourage you tonight as you listen, perhaps to the wooing of the very Spirit of God, that you'll be willing to come and give your heart to the Lord tonight. Listen a little bit more here to this reading. He preached to them the word. And they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four people were carrying him there. Sick of the palsy, I don't know exactly all that, but it sounds like he wasn't able to walk. There was, for whatever reason, heard some have claimed that perhaps he was paralyzed for some reason, but he wasn't able to walk. And I've wondered in my mind, I can't prove it, but I've wondered that perhaps he had heard of Jesus. He was noised abroad, a lot of people was hearing about him, and he was over there laying in his bed. Maybe had some things in his soul that I just wish I could get with him. Wish I could. And he started talking to his friends. I want to hear him so bad. There's some things that I believe I've heard about him and his kindness and things that he's done. We'll take you there. And so they got busy taking this man over there. And when they got there, the press was so they couldn't get up close. And so they carried him up on the roof. You know the story. And they let him down. And there was no rebuke. Nobody was why'd you tear up my roof? That's not what happened. Jesus didn't say, now you should be more respectful. Didn't say that. Jesus looked on him in his need and heard. I believe he heard the cry of his soul, of his heart. I don't think he had to say a word, because God sees us even here tonight. He looks down in our need, the silent, suffering heart that some have. And he's interested in ministering to that need. As this man was there, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I wondered about the faith. Saw their faith. Well, they believed. I believe in my mind, I'm thinking there's something in this man. He was thinking, I believe if I can get myself over to him. And in my mind, I don't even think he was wanting to be healed. I think he was wanting for his soul to be set free. In my mind, I think he was wanting, I just want to tell him about all these things I'm carrying. I wish somehow I could unburden my heart. He couldn't go to synagogue. Did you know that? He couldn't go and give his
give his sin offerings. They had to bury him there to do that. He wasn't able to do that. But take me to Jesus. Would you please? And they took him there. And I believe Jesus looked down in great compassion. He got the answer for us. Son, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I believe those are the words he wanted to hear. Oh, I imagine at that moment there was something washed over him. Something like I felt that night when I heard him say, thy sins be forgiven thee. All the weight rolled off his shoulders. And he may have almost felt for a little bit. I believe I can run a little. But he still had crippled legs. But inside he was free. Oh, thank you, Lord. But there were people that looked on and said, oh, this is blasphemy. I want to tell you tonight, God's able to prove to you he can forgive your sin. He's not ashamed to prove it either. And the people challenged him and said, some of the people challenged him and said, well, Jesus answered their challenge. He said in the 8th verse, latter part of it, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Now, you know, any of us can say words. I can say be healed, and there's no way of Jesus, when you say you forgive somebody, how do you prove that? Is there outside manifestations, outward manifestations of that? Well, he said, well, you said you forgive their sins. How do you? He said, so that you might know. Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Get up and walk. And he did. Jesus gave full proof that what he said, he was able to do. So when we come with our burden, that sometimes, I can tell you that one of the things the devil was telling me the night that I got saved, before I came to that altar, one of the things he was telling me, you went too far. He said, you've already crossed the line. You remember those times when you intentionally blasphemed? You remember those times you remember? And he would point out all those times. I want to tell you, God's still able. And he's not ashamed to prove it. The devil will try to tell us whether there's any reason for him, whether we have given him any reason to hold on to that and say, well, you went too far. He'll try that on you. But tonight, I want you to know, home believers, anybody in this building, if you feel the Lord tugging on your heart, you sure haven't went too far. You haven't went too far. And I want you to know that the place that we feel the longing in there and feel like it's maybe it's too far. I remember thinking while I was out talking with this other individual clear away from the tabernacle over in a vehicle over there, and I was feeling so, oh, I'm so sick of what I have become. I didn't like who I had become. I didn't like seeing the person that I saw in the mirror. I didn't like who I had become at all. And I was listening to the man praying. He was groaning. Lord, he was praying for me. And I wanted what he was praying for me to have. But the devil's saying, it's not for you.
It's just too far. And it's just too far from here to there. There's too much. And he'd point out everything that I'd done wrong. And there's no way to pick up all the pieces that you've broken. There's no way to make right. You can't say I'm sorry enough. You can't go back and even make the restitutions. There's some, you just don't know how you're going to. And it's just too far. The web is woven too intricately. There's no way you can make. That's what the devil was saying. And then I'd listen to the groans of the man's prayer. I do remember reaching down, get hold of the handle of that car or that vehicle, the door. And I can't tell you really what happened after that, because the Lord made the path so easy. From there to the altar, some say I came running, and I can't verify that because I don't remember. But I know I was desperate, and I may well have come running. I don't know. But I know when I fell at that altar, earnestly seeking the Lord, some of the ministers gathered around there, and even there was a monumental struggle. The devil was saying, there's no way. Brother Tommy Milo at that time was down there praying with me, with some of the other ministers, and he said, "Do you believe the Lord will save you?" And I said, "I can't pray for my unbelief." And they began to start praying for my unbelief. And I want to tell you, the Lord healed my unbelief. He came there and showed himself so really and so strongly to me that I had no doubt. He's able to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." He's able to say that tonight to everyone. And perhaps the one that really needs this the most tonight may not even be in this room. It may be out there on the internet. But if you're out there and you feel that you've walked away so far that there's no way back home, I want to tell you that's a lie. I want to tell you that God knows how to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And He's waiting for that one to come home. Not only waiting, He's longing. He's looking down the road, hoping that you come to yourself and simply say, "I'm done." You can have whatever ashes are left. And He scoops them up and begins to give beauty for the ashes that you've given. That was my story. That's who I was. I was the burnt up young man. I was the one that had no hope until He gave me hope. I was the one that had felt like the devil had told me I'd walked too far. Now I'm here telling you my story. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And the story I want to tell you very strongly, very personally, hopefully somehow it can reach to your heart. There is a God in heaven that wants to be your Savior. That wants to be the one that'll give you victory in your life. It begins to build hope for your tomorrow. That you can get up from an altar of prayer tonight knowing that your sins are forgiven. Knowing that God has said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Take up your bed and walk. You're no longer crippled. You're no longer one of these that has been maimed by sin, because I've healed you. I made all things new. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are made new. Thank the Lord tonight. I just want to encourage you. There's more in here that speaks of God's graciousness, His mercy. But I want the message I want you to get tonight is that tonight, the message comes home to you. Tonight, you can make a choice because it's offered. Tonight, perhaps the devil has been working and maneuvering you over into an area that maybe you even haven't left home yet, but God wants you to renew those vows. Come back and defeat the devil.
Lay it on the altar. Make it real. If you walked a long ways away, come back home. Give it to the Lord. He'll meet you in your hour of need. He'll meet you where you are. You may feel like that somebody's got to carry me. I want to tell you the Lord's able to carry you. If you need us to come where you are and gather around you and pray, we'll come where you are. You'll be born by at least four of us. There's probably going to be more than that. Because we want you to make heaven. We want you to have peace in your soul. God wants that too. I want to encourage you tonight. Perhaps now as we sing a song. And you listen to the voice of the Lord. The sweet call of the Savior that hung on Calvary for your sin. Interested in saving your soul. Won't you come and give it to the Lord tonight?